What wonderful truth. I love the text of that song. I love one particular line where it says there, it wasn't just taken away, it was paid for. Jesus paid for our sins. And what a wonderful truth that is. Romans chapter 1, if you would please. We are going to be in a number of texts this morning. But if you want to go to Romans 1 as we begin, let me just say this quickly. It is going to officially be published tomorrow night, but we have permission to tell our church family. Jason and Carrie are official missionaries with Armed Forces Baptist Mission. We're very grateful for that. Their interview was Wednesday morning. They both did a tremendous job with that, and so looking forward to what God is going to do with them in the future as they continue to push towards arriving on the field. This morning, if I were to ask you, and you had to come up with a firm answer, and the question was, why is the resurrection so important? I want you to answer that in your mind. Just kind of sit there for a minute. Why is it so important? If you could just put it in a few words, what would those words be? I'm not asking you to give me the answer. I'm just giving you a chance to think a little bit. You know, sometimes we know something's important, and if someone were to ask us whether it's important, we'd say, oh, absolutely. But when it comes to just saying, why is it important, we would be kind of like, I found it interesting this week. And by the way, I'm going to give you some lists. The idea started from a book, and it said, here are some reasons why the resurrection is important. And he gave three or four, I think it was originally. And I thought, ooh, that would be a really good study to see beyond the obvious. Okay, we're going to talk about some of those today. And this is certainly not an exhaustive study. But I thought, I just typed in, why is the resurrection important, from a secular website. Okay, I thought, I wonder what they would say about the resurrection. This is totally secular website. The resurrection of Jesus Christ is important to Christians because it validates his identity as the Son of God and Messiah, his teachings and promises, and his power to give eternal life to his followers. It is also the cornerstone of redemption and the hope of a future restoration of humans and the earth. The resurrection is a central concept and a basic tenet of the Christian faith. I thought, I'm not sure a theologian could have said that any better. I mean, it is a fantastic little paragraph. That's why the resurrection is so important. Dr. David Turner, who is a professor of New Testament at a university, says the resurrection culminates the passion narrative in all four Gospels because it is at the center of redemption itself. Without it, one can only pity Jesus as a dead martyr whose lofty ideals were sadly misunderstood. But with it, one must stand in awe of the exalted Messiah, the Son of the living God, who gave his life as a ransom for many, who presently reigns at God's right hand, and who will one day return in glory to fix this broken world. Amen. The fact is, without the resurrection, the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 that we are of all men most miserable. In other words, life is hopeless without the resurrection. I'm going to do my best to stay away from 1 Corinthians 15 today, not because it's bad. It's a wonderful text of Scripture. And as you study some things about the essential nature of the resurrection, you find that almost every New Testament author not only mentioned it, but it was the basis of much of what they talked about. Matter of fact, if you were to pull out the resurrection from the Bible, there would be all kinds of things that would not make any sense. And I think that's important as we work through this. Can we be saved without it? Can't. Okay. And it's interesting, those who say, I believe in the Messiah and I believe that da-da-da, but I don't believe in the resurrection. I'm like, you can't do that. Like, that doesn't mesh together. All right? It's just so important. So let's look at some things this morning, and I want us to just see this central thought. Everything we do should be impacted by the resurrection. I think it's important that we celebrate today the resurrection. Lisa and I were talking this morning on the way to church, and I wonder what people of the world think of today. Obviously, we know that people think, you know, it's a bunny rabbit, which has nothing to do with the resurrection, and those kinds of things. But, like, even from a religious significance, what are they thinking today? We were watching a weather report last night, watching when the rain's going to finish and all that kind of stuff, and a station out of Charlotte actually put the hill with three crosses for the symbol today. We were both like, oh, wow. Normally, a secular station would put a bunny or something like that up there. So let's look at some things, and we'll look at Romans chapter 1 and verse 4. And I told you, we're going to move through a lot of different texts of Scripture today. But notice what it says here. And declare to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead. Now, this is in the middle of a lengthy sentence that the Apostle Paul loves to do, right? Just these run-on sentences, what we would call them today. Okay? This word declared here means to make a determination about an entity or to determine, to fix or set. So here's the first truth I want us to see. The divinity of Jesus rests on the resurrection of Jesus. In other words, his divinity itself was authenticated by the resurrection. Without it, there would be significant doubts as to whether or not he was God. This particular term declared here is the only time Paul uses it. It means to determine or to appoint. It is used by Luke a couple of times in the book of Acts to show that God appointed Christ as the judge of the world. In other words, Jesus declared or proved or set, if you will, his divine authority and established himself as the expected Davidic Messiah through the resurrection from the dead. Everything he did, though significant, I've heard some people say, you know, it's the resurrection that's significant. You don't have a resurrection without the cross. Without the shedding of blood, you have no remission of sins. All of that is important, but all of that, everything that he did, everything that he said he was, all the fulfillments, all of that was authenticated, if you will, was declared, was a stamp of approval. The resurrection proved all that. Powerful, for sure. That resurrection declared him to be the Son of God, another author says, because it validated his claims to deity. Now, this is interesting. Why did they kill him? Ultimately, it was because he claimed to be God. That's why they killed him. So it validates his claims to deity and his predictions that he would rise from the dead. Matthew 16 and verse 21. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and the chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. In John chapter 2, verse 18 and following, then answered the Jews and said unto him, what sign showest thou us, seeing that thou doest these things? Jesus answered and said unto them, destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will rise it up. And said the Jews, 46 years was this temple in building, and wilt thou rear it up in 3 days? But he spake of the temple of his body. When therefore he was risen from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this unto them, and they believed the scripture and the word which Jesus had said. Authenticated by the resurrection. Isn't it interesting that they asked for a sign, and when Jesus gave them the sign, they didn't believe it and found fault with it. And not only that, but these same people who are asking for this sign helped to authenticate the fact that it was legit. Because they said, by the way, this deceiver, quote unquote, that's what they called him, said that in 3 days he's going to rise again, so can we put some soldiers and can we do some other things here, and can you put a seal on it, and da da da. And sure, I love the text of Scripture where he says, go make it as sure as you can. Which was not very sure, apparently. And then when Jesus actually did what he said he was going to do, then they lied about it. If you want to know why the Pharisees, why Jesus spoke to them in parables, it was because they didn't want to believe. They knew exactly who he was, and they willingly rejected him. Number two, the sovereignty of Jesus rests on the resurrection. The sovereignty of Jesus rests on the resurrection. Romans chapter 14 and verse 9. For to this end Christ both died and rose and revived, that he might be Lord both of the dead and living. By the way, some like to make a big deal of this word revived. See, he wasn't really dead. Do you know what the word revived means? It means alive again. It means to live again. Something can't live again unless it was dead at one point. Messiah was beginning his reign, but to the surprise of his disciples, his throne would be a cross, and his diadem would be a thorn of crowns. I'm sorry, a crown of thorns. I'll get it out in a minute. And we've said this many times before, but he was not the Messiah they thought he would be. But don't miss this. He was the Messiah we all desperately needed. Because had the Lord resolved the quote-unquote political tension that was taking place there, they didn't know it, but that was not their biggest need. Their biggest need was they needed a Savior that could take away their sin, could pay for it in full. So his sovereignty, the fact that he knows what he's doing and he can see down through the corridors of time and he orchestrates things exactly as he wants, that too is authenticated by the resurrection. Number three, our justification rests on the resurrection of Jesus. Romans chapter 4, verses 23 and 25. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also to whom it shall be imputed, applied to their account. If we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. The word justification there means to be vindicated, to be acquitted. As a process as well as the result. I love what one author said, it's an acquittal that brings life. What a wonderful truth. We're going to spend time, Lord willing, in the second service about life. One of the basic components of resurrection is life. Our justification rests on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Vindicated. Number four, our regeneration rests on the resurrection of Christ. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And you may be thinking, well, Pastor, there's all these words that are brought into this picture. Which one of them happened? All of them. The transaction that took place when Jesus Christ paid for our penalty of our sin on the cross of Calvary, there are all kinds of things that happen to you, and they all happen simultaneously. What a wonderful truth that is. This rebirth is accomplished by Jesus' resurrection from the dead. And it serves as Christians' reason for hope, a certainty of the future salvation that's coming. Once dead in our sins, Christians now live with the assured hope of their own resurrection. See, part of today allows us to have hope when we stand at a loved one's casket. Part of today helps us to look forward to the time when death will be ultimately defeated, though it is already defeated, but it ultimately will be defeated. The living hope is based on the living, resurrected Christ. According to 1 Peter chapter 18 and following, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as with silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. So this living hope is based on the living, resurrected Christ. The Christian's assurance in Christ is as certain and as sure as the fact that Christ is alive today. This living means that the believer's hope is sure, certain, and real. By the way, as opposed to the deceptive, empty, false hope the world offers. It can mean nothing. Maybe gives a temporary thrill, and then it's gone. But there's not real answers to problems. As a result, we may place sure faith and hope in God, who, though our judge, is also our Savior and Father. See, the resurrection seals the security of those who so believe and hope. And in the midst of earthly insecurity, here is the true confidence and security. God knows what He's doing. And in the midst of everything that's happening around us. And if you don't pay attention to the news, good, in some ways, right? But if you do, you look around and think, we've lost our minds. Like, just this week, I watched some things, and I'm like, I can't believe people like that act like they're sane are actually promoting some of this stuff. It's like, this is crazy. And yet in the midst of that, we still have the hope because of the resurrection. That's where it all comes from. It's amazing. Lord willing, 2 weeks from today, we'll begin our series on 1 and 2 Corinthians. I've said this before, but it is such a rich book. But one thing that's readily apparent about this study is that sometimes we fall into the trap of believing that our world today is about as wicked as it can come, as it can be. Can I tell you that I could not describe the city of Corinth and some of its filthiness in a public setting? It is that vile and wicked. And in the midst of that, Paul plants a church. And in the midst of that, a church struggles. They're probably the most carnal church in the New Testament. And probably Paul's most forceful statements are said to this church. And it's believed that probably his most forceful are in a second book, a third book that's not preserved. And yet that church still grows, still responds to Scripture, still responds to truth under the absolute worst possible scenario. I'm so glad that the resurrection tells us that it doesn't matter how dark it gets, there is hope. Am I concerned about our country? Absolutely. The direction it's going? Absolutely. Am I discouraged? Do I believe everything is coming to an end? No. Because of the hope of the resurrection, we rest in it. The fifth thing is our ultimate resurrection rests on the resurrection of Jesus. Romans chapter 8 and verse 11 says, "But if the Spirit of Him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, He that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you." And this word quicken means to give life or to make alive. The word mortal means subject to death. How many of you in this room are subject to death? You all are. Some of you feel it more acutely this morning than others. Right? I'm not trying to be unkind, I'm just telling you. Some of you are a lot closer to it than others. Some of you think you're farther away from it, but you're not. Because the truth is, nobody in this room knows when it's going to happen. We just don't know. These flowers up here represent loved ones and people that we have loved. And some of these that are represented up here died very early ages. not what we were expecting at all. But there's still hope. There's still hope of the resurrection. In other words, God promises spiritual resurrection of life now. Romans chapter 6, verses 4, 8, and 11. Let's turn to Romans 6, okay? This is a great passage. Verse 4, therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death. We're going to have a baptism later today. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Verse 8, now if we be dead with him, we believe that we shall also live with him. Verse 11, likewise reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So Jesus' resurrection allows us to live now. The fact is, you do not have to be defeated by sin. And the reason that you don't have to be defeated by sin right now is because Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection gives you victory now. We don't have to be defeated by it. But physical resurrection is coming in the future for this mortal body. 1 Corinthians 6:14, and God hath both raised up the Lord and will also raise up us by his own power. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 14, knowing that he which raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise up also by Jesus, shall raise up us also by Jesus and shall present us with you. See, the pledge and promise of the Spirit is that he will raise us as he did Jesus Christ. But right now, the Spirit provides life and righteousness. We get to live now. What a wonderful truth that is. And again, it allows us then to see life, at least it should, totally different than anyone else. Because we recognize what God is doing for us even now. Number six. Jesus claimed to be the resurrection and the life. You know the story of John 11. It's the story of Lazarus. And the whole timing here of Jesus is important. So Jesus hears that Lazarus is sick. He's a dear friend. And he waits. Intentionally. You ever felt like you needed God to work now and he's waiting? And you remind him that you don't need to wait any longer? You ever been in that position? Don't look at me like you're all perfect out there. All of us have been there, right? Like, Lord, I need this right now. And he's like, yeah, no, you don't. You're like, no, you don't understand, Lord. He's going to die if you don't get here. Now, the Lord didn't say this, but we know the story, don't we? I'm waiting for him to die. Like, that makes no sense. It does to the Lord. So he waits. And he says to the disciples, okay, it's time to go now because Lazarus is asleep. The Lord, would it be healthy for him to stay asleep? No, guys, he's dead. Now we're going. Great. Like, you couldn't have gone and helped them ahead of time. I know exactly what I'm doing. We don't have all this information. The Lord doesn't even tell his disciples that. Isn't it interesting when he arrives on the scene? What do the sisters say to him? Lord, if you'd been here, he wouldn't have died. Now, I want you to think about this. If our Lord could keep death at bay, doesn't that mean he's in charge of death? Doesn't that mean that he can overrule death now? That's interesting. It's in that context that John 11, verse 25, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Do you know who I am? I am the resurrection and the life. okay, Lord, I know that my brother's going to live someday. And Jesus is like, no, you don't understand. I have defeated death even now. Now, let me ask you this question. Had the Lord given evidence of that already in his ministry? Yes or no? Name me some. Who? He stopped the funeral procession. He said, yeah, can you put the coffin down because I'd like to solve this funeral procession, right? Okay. Who else? Jairus' daughter, right? So the Lord had already proven that he can do this. This is not a problem for him. I love it too. When he says, I want you to roll the stone away. And they're like, Lord, he's probably already stinking. That's why we're not God. Because I would have probably said in that point, you still don't get it, do you? I'm going to raise him from the dead. He's perfectly fine. It's like, yeah, but that's why the Lord didn't do this. By the way, Jesus claims to be the I am of the Old Testament. I am the resurrection and the life. This is one of seven times that Jesus uses the statement I am in the book of John alone. By the way, that I am statement tried to get him killed before too. But they so missed it. And I want you to notice here the tie between the resurrection and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. This seems obvious, doesn't it? Resurrection means life. But sometimes we miss its significance. And again, we're going to spend more time on that in the second service. But simply put, Jesus declares that he is the source and power that will enable that resurrection of the dead on the day of judgment. He is the source and power. He is the one that will raise up God's people in their glorified bodies to be one with him. That's him. The resurrection guarantees our resurrection. And that's why when we know the loved one knows Christ is their Savior, we can stand there and say, I'll see you again. I'll see you again. And what hope that is. I've often said, what do people do without God? How do you put a loved one in the ground without God? I don't know. It's hard enough to do so when you know that's not their permanent dwelling place. People have asked, how's your dad doing? And I've said on a number of occasions, it won't be long and he'll be whole. That's the hope of the resurrection. That's it. We can rest confidently in that. Now listen, that doesn't mean that we don't grieve. Doesn't mean that we haven't lost, because we have lost the person that we love here. But we have not internally lost him. Praise the Lord for that. This is the ultimate sign. Jesus, the source of life, now gives life to one man. And again, I've said this before, but one of the most ridiculous, almost laughable things is that when the Pharisees say, yeah, this guy Lazarus that Jesus raised from the dead, he's causing us significant problems. So we need to put him to death. We can look at Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and think, how did these people miss what the Lord was trying to tell them? He told them in every kind of way he possibly could tell them who he was. And yet they missed it. And by the way, the resurrected life is a present experience. I am the resurrection and the life. For us who know Jesus Christ is our Savior, eternal life begins now. It's not just that you're going to get eternal life. You have it right now. If you know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you've repented of your sins and trusted what He did on the cross of Calvary, you have eternal life now. You will live forever. What a wonderful truth that is. I love what Spurgeon said. Get this statement. The fact is that the silver thread of resurrection runs through all the blessings from regeneration onward to our eternal glory and binds them together. Can I read that again? The fact is that the silver thread of resurrection runs through all the blessings from regeneration onward to our eternal glory and binds them together. So is the resurrection impacting our daily life? Is it impacting our daily life? I know it's going to impact eternity if you say you know Christ as your Savior. And I know theoretically you would say that it's impacting it, but is it impacting your daily life? Do you live in light of the resurrection every single day? That's important for us. Now, this is just a small sampling of some of the things. It's why we say the resurrection is critical to what we believe. Because if it's not, then our redemption is impacted, and His sovereignty is impacted, and His deity is impacted, and we could go on and on and on. By the way, just another quick thought. Did you know that the resurrection is historically, one of the most verified historical events that have ever happened? There is more evidence that Jesus Christ actually did rise from the dead than there are of significant historical events that no one ever questions. You're like, then why do people question? Why did the Pharisees? When the proof was right in front of them. Willingly ignorant. Willingly ignorant. If you want to know, God wants you to know. He wants you to know. Father, thank You for these truths from Scripture that we just need to be reminded of. Lord, I didn't say anything this morning that our people did not already know, but it's good reminders for us. Thank You that You are the resurrection and the life. And we'll thank You for that. In Your name we pray. Amen.